Welcome to the Church in the Peak podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information, visit churchinthepeak.org or come and join us at 10 a.m. every Sunday.
Let's just pray for him, shall we? Lord, we thank you for the word that you've put in his heart for us today. I pray you just come now by the Holy Spirit and enable Andy to share your heart with us this morning, that we might catch your heart for us through him today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Very much. Well, it's great to be here on Mother's Day. I'm really pleased to say my mum is here for the first time. So she's really great. It doesn't really matter what I say. I know at the end at least one person will say it's pretty good. Well, it's lovely to have a room here. First time there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really good. And just to say, we've been in the church. I was trying to work it out. It's been about 20 months we've been in the church. So we joined sort of the back end of COVID. My wife Jane, over there, put your hand up, Jane. And Charlotte, we've got two of them. Put your hand up, Charlotte. I've got two of the older children who aren't here. But we've been here 20 months. I'd just like to say thank you for welcoming us. It's been absolutely fantastic. So we've been in Paul and Angie's home group, along with quite a few other folk here, Steve and him. It's just been absolutely amazing. So the previous church, we're in for about 30 years. It's a long time. It really did feel like family, as you can imagine. So coming here was quite a big move. And, you know, you're always a bit nervous, aren't you? But I must say, you've made us feel so welcome. And it's particularly the home group, Paul and Angela, and everyone involved there. It's been absolutely amazing to get involved with the church. Which fits in very nicely with what I was going to talk about this morning. Because I want to talk about something that is very dear to me. It's a sense of belonging. Because I think everybody needs to belong, needs to feel part of something, to feel loved and cared for, and a place where they can feel content and secure. I think it's something we all want, isn't it? I think every single person. And so the opposite of that, which I'm going to talk about as well, is loneliness, which is one of the worst feelings. I've certainly experienced that at times in my life, and it's one of the worst feelings of all, loneliness. But belonging, I think, is something that's really at the heart of what God's got for us. I was thinking about it, because actually I was thinking, well, before we were created, I was thinking, was God alone? He wasn't alone, was he? Because he talks about the Trinity, doesn't he? It alludes to the Trinity in Genesis. Because I was looking at the verses, Genesis 1, verse 26. Before we're made, God says, let us create man that's made in our own image. It's interesting, isn't it? So, and he talks a bit earlier about the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. So the Trinity was there right at the start. So God, almost integral to his nature, there's a sense of belonging, a sense of friendship and companionship. And because it's so integral to God's nature, I believe because he's made us in his image, that's also something God's made for us. He's not made us to be lone rangers. He's not made anybody to be on their own. I know some people like to be on their own more than others, and there's always a time, and I'm telling you times where I like to be on my own. But if I don't feel a sense of belonging when I'm around other people, there's something definitely that I'm missing out on. So I'd just like to, is it possible to put on our first slide, please, Steve? I think you can see that's all right. That's meant to be a green arrow. It seems to have gone over the orange one. But I just wanted to talk about, particularly, I want to sort of say about people who are outside of our church, because we've got, I think it's something like 100,000 people in the Peak District, maybe slightly over that, I think. There's a lot of people in the Peak District. And I want to talk about how they relate to God and how they relate to the church. And I want to say a little bit about my story, because I've brought up in a very loving family, mum's here. So. but I wasn't. We weren't brought up as Christians. It's just the way we were brought up. It was outside of the church. And one thing happened to me when I was 19 that was very important. So I had some friends at my running club, and one chap in particular, he'd been quite a depressed sort of person before before. He didn't talk a lot. He looked quite down most of the time. And all of a sudden, things changed for him. He suddenly became happier and optimistic. And he started looking at me when he spoke to me and talking to me. And I asked him what happened. And he said to me he'd like me to come along with him on a Sunday night to a meeting. And I said, what is it? And he said, it's actually church. And I'd never been to church before in my life. And I thought, wow, okay, do I go along or not? And I did go along. And I had the most amazing, I'd say, 4 weeks when I went along to church with him and his friend. And there's two of them. And what happened? I went from having no experience at all of church or really thinking about God at all to really feeling part of a family, a church family. And this is, I believe, the way, that's meant to be an arrow, by the way, that green line. This is how I believe it happens to a lot of people. They befriend someone in the church and a friendship strikes up, hopefully a good, deep, genuine friendship. And as over time, as they get to know you, their beliefs start to think about what they believe in God. Maybe they've got an alpha course or something like that. And sometimes when people come along to church and they do the alpha course, they do make the decision, obviously, to give their life to the Lord, which is fantastic, isn't it? And they join the church and they become Christians. And then they get on the journey of discipleship, which is with the process that every Christian's on, being changed over time by the Spirit of God. And that's what happened to me. So from being outside of the church and befriending my friend Lee and Adrian, they brought me in. And I don't believe that these days most people come to church, they don't naturally come to church. There's lots of folks out there who think that church is outdated, that it's probably irrelevant. And I had another friend of mine who just didn't think he was good enough to come to church. He said, oh no, I can't go there. In fact, his phrase to me was, if I walk through a church building, the roof will collapse in. He just didn't think he was good enough. But, you know, of course, we do believe that Christianity in church is for everybody, isn't it? It's not just for, it's not just for good people. And one of the things I think that's on my heart is that we obviously meet together on a Sunday morning, and it's fantastic when people come to visit. But there's a big part of church is about getting out there, isn't it? You know, when we go out there to our workplaces, to our schools, wherever we go, we take church with us, don't we? We are the people of God. There's a good phrase for the church in the Bible. It's called ecclesia. Now, ecclesia is actually a word to describe church, the people of God. And it's not actually a building, because you can think of church, well, a lot of people think of church as going to a building, but ecclesia actually says that the church is actually a gathering of Christian people. So wherever we go, church goes. So if we go out there together, church goes with us. And that's essentially what my friends were doing for me. They were being, and I didn't realise I was visiting church, but they were going to me. The church was actually coming to me. And I think that's a huge thing that we can do, is make sure we get out there and take church to the people. In fact, if you look at the end of, I'm just going to read it out actually, Matthew 28, it's a scripture I think you'll know pretty well. Jesus says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So Jesus actually says to go, doesn't he? He says we naturally want, I think, to gather together, but Jesus actually says, go, get out there. Go and make disciples, go and meet people. Now, belonging is not just a matter of belonging to a group of people, but we also believe, we were singing earlier on about us being children of God, weren't we? We actually belong to God. And I was just remembering this morning as I was preparing, there was, I don't know if you remember, but in the 2002 World Cup, Brazil won the World Cup. And I had this memory, I don't know if you remember this, Steve, at all, but when Cafu, who was the Brazilian captain at the time, got his medal, he turned his medal around, and on the front he said, "I belong to him," on the front. He's a Christian guy. And it was the message. I remember at the time thinking, wow, that's incredible. And the biggest moment, he obviously belongs to Brazil, and he belonged to his team, but he wanted to make a point, the biggest moment of his career, that he belonged to Christ. And we do belong to God, don't we? We're singing, we are children of God. And I do believe that, although it's fantastic to belong to a great family, and it's great to belong to other groups of people, belonging to a family of God and belonging to God himself has got to be the greatest thing of all. And I really think it's actually a fundamental desire, I think, that most people have got to want to belong to God. Now, Steve, is it possible to put up slide two, please? So I was just thinking about the opposite of this, and this is something, I don't know if you can read some of these statistics here. I did some research on loneliness, because I think particularly during the COVID period, a lot of people were very, very lonely, weren't they? I mean, I certainly felt it. I don't know if anybody else here felt isolated. Now, a lot of these figures you'll see were actually taken before COVID, so I'd only imagine that these figures have actually got worse, if you like, as since then. But there's some, they're quite startling, aren't they? There's folk over 50, there's, in the UK, the number of over 50s experienced loneliness is set to reach 2 million by 2025-26. This compares to 1.4 million in 2016-17. A 49% increase in 10 years. That's by Age UK. See, 2018, so that's pre-COVID. In 2016-17, there were 5% of adults aged 16 years or over in England reporting the feeling of feeling lonely, always and often. That's 1 in 20 adults. So if we had 100,000 people in the Peak District, we're talking about a lot of people feeling lonely. That's 5,000, isn't it? At least that. And there's furthermore, 16% of adults reported feeling lonely sometimes and 24% occasionally. And this is the one that really grabbed my heart. And to be honest, it brought tears to my eyes, the next one. A survey by Action for Children found that 43% of 17 to 25-year-olds who used their service had experienced problems with loneliness. And of this same age group, less than half said they felt loved. I mean, that's heartbreaking, isn't it? I mean, that to me, and I read that, I thought, no, that can't be right. But this is something that's very, very common. And it says Action for Children also reported that 24% of the parents surveyed said they always or often felt lonely. And also research by the Charity Centre has shown that up to 50% of disabled people will be lonely on any given day. So they're quite startling figures, aren't they? Thinking how, if you think about the sense of belonging being fundamental to our nature, and if that many people feel lonely, and it's not just, you tend to think it might just be older folk who've lost relatives and loved ones who are lonely, but it's not. There's lots of other groups of people who are lonely. And it's something that I don't believe that's what God wants for people. Not about you. God wants people to feel loved and part of a family. Just as an aside, so I'm mainly sort of talking about folk out there, really. That was the main thrust of the message. But I was talking to Jane about this, and in fact, Jane would like me to share this as well with you. It's just a personal thing, but I know there's probably going to be, in fact, I know there will be people here who feel lonely. You can actually feel lonely in a crowd. You can feel lonely in a family. You can feel lonely in a marriage. Loneliness is something that is not just common to people who are stuck in a house somewhere out there. It can be amongst people here as well. I'm going to share something, because I think it's good just to be honest, isn't it? So we've been married how long, Jane? About 20? No, more than that. No, I shouldn't lie. The 9th of July, that's the wedding day, mate. So we've been married a long time. Now, we've been Christians all that time as well. And there was a time, I mean, you could probably relate to this, some of you, when, particularly when we were young and had all the children very young,
And I had very busy jobs. I was a teacher and a head teacher at a school, so I was quite busy, as you can imagine. There's lots and lots to do, working quite long hours. And I was also very, very busy in the evenings, wasn't I, Joe? And I'd be going out quite a lot to meetings. There were good meetings. I went to some prison ministry one night, I remember, thinking, this is fantastic. It was really good work. But there was one point whilst I was doing it all, and I was out three or four nights every week, as well as working 60 hours a week, where I thought to myself, I'm doing too much. And talking to Jane since then, she says, yeah, you know what, I felt quite lonely at that time. And then I regret it, actually. I don't regret, obviously I had to go to work, obviously. But I would have adjusted things. I think if I did that again, and since then, things have certainly been adjusted, haven't they, Jane? Yeah. But it's really important, and I know there's... when you've got young children, particularly, you're very, very busy, aren't you? And, you know, most people have to go to work. And it's good to go along, to have commitments within church as well, go along to meetings. They are important. But just to say that you can still be lonely, even within... Jane said she felt she experienced that for a few years, didn't you, I think? And if that's the case, I just thought I'd say it just to allay it. If it's something that's stuck in your mind, that could be me, or that might... this is happening in my family, then that doesn't have to stay like that. Things can be done, you can make decisions, but I just thought I'd mention that. Is it possible to put the next slide, please, Steve? So if you do feel lonely, not just to bring good company, because this is David speaking, Psalm 25:16. This is God, it's David praying to God. He says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. That's King David saying that. So the great King David, one of the heroes of the Old Testament, he also felt lonely. So it's not something that's, it can happen to anybody. Anybody can feel like that. And then there's the scripture. I think it's up there as well. It is up there. I know when we're doing youth on a Thursday afternoon, we have a lot of youth from the local estate coming here. It's quite interesting, Steve, isn't it? And Rebecca's there. I see Rebecca at the back. It's very interesting, isn't it, Rebecca? It's lively. Lively is the word I'd use for it. But I see that scripture up there says, he sets the lonely in families. That really is God's heart. God wants us to feel. He wants everybody to feel part of something. And I was thinking about Jesus as well, because he tended to befriend people who are on the outside, didn't he? I was thinking about this because he didn't just hang around with the disciples, and he didn't just preach, did he? It said he was known. In fact, one of the phrases that gets used in the Bible, he was the friend of sinners. So if a religious person be called the friend of sinners, that's quite a title, isn't it? And I was thinking about the stories, particularly this one in John 4. Do you know the story of the Samaritan woman at the well? So basically, Jesus is on a journey through Samaria, I'm guessing. And he goes to a well, and there's a lady there who's trying to draw water. And Jesus engages her in conversation. And it's a great conversation. It's the conversation about the water of life. And he's inviting the Samaritan woman to come to him and to accept his living water, his life. But during the conversation, she's surprised because two things have happened that are very strange. One, he's speaking to a Samaritan, so the Jews didn't associate with Samaritans at the time. And secondly, she was a woman. And culturally at the time, that was also something not done. But he broke down those boundaries, those cultural boundaries, and actually spoke to this lady. And it was amazing. There was a whole load of good stuff happened off the back of that. But that was very unusual. He befriended somebody on the outside. She was in difficult circumstances. She probably felt isolated and lonely, and Jesus went to her. The other one, which I wondered if you could put the slide up, Steve, is another story you'll know very well. Just going to read it out, because this is someone I think who was probably lonely. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. They were speaking badly about him. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector, hated. They absolutely were hated because they were the ones who exploited people. They worked on behalf of the Roman rulers, and they manipulated, cheated people, took their money. So you can imagine they were not very popular. I don't imagine Zacchaeus had many friends. Probably didn't at all, but he was fascinated to see Jesus. So he climbed this tree, and of course Jesus knew exactly who he was. Another example of Jesus going to somebody on the outside, befriending them, and then had a and Zacchaeus, because of this experience, something happened. The Holy Spirit worked in his heart. He had a complete change of heart, and was saved, wasn't he? It's amazing. So the thing I think that characterized Jesus was he had a huge amount of compassion for people. I think it's in the Gospel of Luke where it says Jesus was moved by compassion. It was an emotion, a feeling that was very that motivated him. And one of my prayers for us is that God would fill our hearts with compassion, that he would fill us with a sense of wanting to see not just each other, but see all those people out there feel like they belong, that they belong to God and belong to the family of God. That's something I pray for us, that we can have that compassion. It can be. So I know we're in a different... So you have different phases in your life, don't you? When you're younger, you tend not to have so many responsibilities. Generally have a little bit more time. Then if you have children, particularly young children, you end up being very, very busy most of the time, don't you? You have work commitments. Then as you get older, and the children get a bit older, and they leave home, and work can get a bit easier sometimes, things can free up, and then there's different phases of life, basically, aren't there? Where the demands on our time, particularly, can change. And I appreciate that when we're thinking about openly over time, when someone said, we want to make sure we get out there and meet people and draw people into the church and help people, It can feel, if you're very busy, like, that's something else I've got to do. I'm so busy. I've got all these other demands on my time. How can I do that as well? And I fully appreciate that. And I think it's important to be wise, isn't it? And to pray about what you're doing and your basically your commitments. I wonder if it's possible to just put up the last slide on the right. So it's a very unusual one to finish with this. It's actually a scripture out of Leviticus. And it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. That's Leviticus 23:22. So this is an unusual scripture, isn't it? I just thought it was one I felt got laid on my heart. But basically what it was, it was a command in the Old Testament that when somebody had a farm had a, or people had land in the field, they weren't to take everything from that field. They were to leave some space at the edge where it says the foreigner and the poor couldn't take their food. So it was allowing a bit of space for other people to take what they needed. And I think it's taking that principle, that's a good principle to allow, I think, to our own lives, and particularly how we use our time. So I know there's been times for me when I've been so busy doing things that I've just not had time for other people. Something will come up and I thought, I could do with helping, or I could do with getting involved, but I've left no room at the edge of my field. I'm just so busy I'm a little bit, you know, I'm a little bit short-tempered even. I've not really got time for anything else. And this scripture, when I first heard it, I heard somebody preach on it many years ago, really impacted me. That I should really pray and ask God, what should and shouldn't I be doing? There's certain fixed things in life, aren't there? That you obviously got to go to work. There's family commitments. There's other things that you have to do. But there's some things we choose to do, don't we? And I know for me, just trying to make sure there's some room at the edge of my field, room at the edge of my life, has meant over time, slowly over time, I've been able to give a bit more time to people outside of the church. A couple of the things that I've been involved with recently, I've actually struck up to some of my old hobbies where I'm actually mixing now with folk outside the church. So while I do quite a bit of running, don't you, James? So I've joined a running group, and all of the folk in the running group none of them are Christians, part of the church, but I see them every week. And also play chess. Probably play too much chess, if I'm honest. but I do love playing chess, and I go to play for Belford Chess Club, and I've got some friends there. But to me, that is the things I enjoy, so I absolutely love going along, love doing that. But also, it's a chance to mix with other people. And I know from talking to people, and I know you'll know this, if you've spent time trying to strike up genuine friendships as well with people, where you're really bothered about, you know, you show concern about what's going on in their lives, and people start to open up to you and to talk. And I know from meeting folk, there are people out there who are quite lonely, quite isolated, and certainly have troubles. And it's really, I think over time, if you can build up a friendship, then you can have that confidence to, you know, to talk to them, to share your own experiences. And there will be, as well, if you're brave, you can also pray with them as well. So there's been a couple of times recently where, a friend of mine who I've known for about almost 2 years now, he knows I'm a Christian, but I've never had a chance to pray with him. And he had an injury on his hand. He was he's a plasterer, so he... It affects his job because he couldn't hold the, whatever it's called, what are they old? Trowel, that's the word, trowel. And he couldn't hold the trowel. But I was able to say, I'm going to pray for that. And as I did, I thought, ooh, that was a bit brave. But I wouldn't have done that straight away. It took time. It took a couple of years or so, really, for me, sort of friendship and having that confidence in the friendship to be able to be able to pray for him. And I'll just show you one other experience. It's quite funny. So I've got a hairdresser in Derby, in Chadderson in Derby, where we lived for many years, so 28 years or so. And I've been going to this hairdresser. Unfortunately, it's still got my hair. It's got very grey, but I've still got hair to cut. In fact, it always reminds me every time. It says, "Oh, you're going to be a customer for quite a few years because you've still got your hair." So obviously, I'm getting more and more grey. He goes, "Oh, don't worry, you've got it. That's great. Good for him." And I've been seeing there's two of them actually. And for 20 years, I've been over 20 years probably going for haircuts there. And even when we moved to Matlock, I decided I would still go to the same hairdresser. It seems a bit crazy, isn't it? Driving, I don't know how far it is, 12, 15 miles to Derby for a haircut. But I still go. The reason is because they're my friends. Jane thinks everybody's my friend. So it's just people you know. But no, they're my friends. I feel like I've known them for years. And in that 20-minute haircut, you can have quite a good chat. And there's lots of things that we've spoken about. There's all sorts of personal things. Obviously, football as well. We talk about football a lot. But there's lots of proper things. And last time I was there, we actually worked out how many haircuts I'd had from them. And we think it's something in the region of 200. 200 haircuts. That's a lot of hair. Then I said to them, "How long have you been hairdressing?" They said, one of them, 1977. So I said, "Wow." So I said, "Right, how many haircuts have you done then?" And he laughed. He goes, "Oh, I don't know." I said, "Let's work it out." So he was cutting my hair. So I'm a maths teacher, so I thought I could do this in my head. So he said, "There's 15 a day, right?" And he goes, "Then 5 days a week, yeah, 75, I can do that." And I said, "How many weeks a year do you work?" "Almost every week, 50 weeks a year." So, right, okay, well, I can't remember, what is that? He's a maths teacher here. Under pressure now. Anyway, it was something like 3,500, something in that region. And then I said, "Say you've done that for 40 years." So I said, "Wow, that's about 140,000 haircuts. And he went, no way. I said, it is. It is, honestly. He said, you get the calculator out when you get home. 140,000. He goes, that's a lot of hair, isn't it? I said, that's a lot of hair. And then he said, I don't know how we started talking about the price for haircuts. I said, what did it cost for a haircut in 1977? It was all about £2 or something. And they're only charging £12 now. I said, interesting. I said, I thought it'd have been less than that then, or more than that now. So that's only an increase of £6. And we started talking about relative prices. And what happened off the back of this relatively silly conversation was, we started talking about money, and then one of the hairdressers said, yes, and it's not good though in life just to pursue money, is it? And we ended up chatting about the, you know, money. Well, I said to them, money is a fantastic tool to use to your life, but to go after it as your aim in life to earn high money is pretty pointless. And one of the hairdressers said, yes, because you can't take it with you, can you? And then he started to quote that scripture out of Job, where it says, naked I came from the room, naked I would depart. He started, he half quoted it, so I finished it off for him and said, yeah, it's from the Bible. He goes, yeah, I thought I heard that before. He goes, you can't take it with you. And it was just really good. We had a chat about a little bit about the Bible, a little bit about money, and we were saying, yes, and, you know, money's fine, but they've obviously not gone pursuing money all their lives. That was the thing they were making out. I said, that's a really great thing. And I came away and thought, that was an interesting haircut. It's only a 20-minute haircut, but I thought it's an example of when you've known someone for 20 years, you can have conversations like that. And I don't know where it's going, so I don't know what's going to happen in the long run. But it's about, for me, it's just about friendship. And I felt really happy. I thought, they're my mates. I was able to chat with them. And to be honest with you, I want to just try to, friendships I've got in the other groups I go to, I want to just try and nurture those friendships and pray for people. It's obviously really important, because I want to also be sharp, if you know what I mean. If God's saying something to me when I'm with someone, I want to be able to pass that on, because God's given us that ability, hasn't he, to pass on his words to people and to help them, hopefully, to feel part of God's family and to feel like he loves them and cares for them. So I think I'll leave it there if that's all right. Thank you. But just to say, if you're feeling here now that you're lonely, because that's a very common thing, I would say it's a good idea with someone you trust to share it, and because you don't have to stay like that. That's not something God doesn't want us to. We all feel lonely sometimes, but God doesn't want to feel like that's our life, to be lonely. Definitely not. He wants us to feel like we belong. And be cared for and loved.
Thank you. Okay.